say Mallorca, and you say Majorca. I say
Majorca,
and you say
Mallorca.
Mallorca, Majorca, Mallorca, Majorca. Let's call the whole thing off.
Ah, I think that's the sound you should start every podcast with. What a way, dear.
Cheers. Here we go.
Welcome to the Mallorca Mallorca podcast. This is episode... We're not even in double figures yet.
Episode five.
There we go. My name's Oliver.
My name's Vicky McLeod. That's Oliver Nielsen. We're about to drink some wine.
Some proper Mallorcan wine, actually.
Here you go.
We spent the morning helping to pick it.
Well, next generation.
Next generation, anyway. I ended up with stitches in my hand. Turns out I'm not very good at it.
Cheers.
Anyway. But you're the wine expert. Tell us what you think.
I'm so not a wine expert. I just like wine.
I'm happy with the Dom Simon brick, so you know more about it than I do.
I'm also a chocolate expert, if you want to speak about it like that.
Actually, I've been cheating. I do know about this wine.
Oh, that's quite good.
It's all right, isn't it? It's a Callette, apparently. Or Callette. C-A-L-L-E-T. It's a white wine made with red grapes.
How is it?
There you go.
We weren't picking this today, then. We were
pressed
picking
quickly,
white grapes.
Skins removed. Very light, apparently. There you go. Today we were picking Sauvignon Blanc.
Oh.
At the absolute crack of dawn, wasn't it? Get up before the wasps do, apparently.
Yeah, that was important. We were picking them for our friends, the Marshes, who are in the process of, I think it's year three of the vines they're growing. And so the wine that we're drinking is a grape grown last year, so 2019 vintage. And it's quite good.
It's all right, isn't it? It's a lovely job.
You should follow them on Facebook, actually. They're called Ses Rotes, which is S-E-S, new word, R-O-T-E-S. And the two things they are passionate about is wine and horses. So
and a bit of cycling as well.
Oh, yes, that too. But it does fit in pretty well with our interest as well, doesn't it? Well,
exactly.
Wine for you, horses for Jeej, and all of it for me.
Perfect. Anyway.
So...
what have we got for you today?
Let me think. Oh, yes. Last week, I went and had a chat with Becky Belafonte Evans, who is the founder, owner, head honcho at Mallorca Solutions, which is a business based in the Southwest and helps people all over the island. And soon coming up in the interview, you'll be able to listen to what she does and how she does it. I've got to tell you that there are many times when Mallorca Solutions have saved us, not least last year when you lost all of your identifying papers in one go.
Everything. This is always the problem with wallets. It gives you the car side opportunity of losing everything in one go, which I did, actually.
Take it very seriously, the whole carrying around identification with you wherever you go, whereas I don't.
No, I suppose that is the law. You're supposed to carry either the original documents to identify yourself or a notarized copy. Photocopy's not good enough, in theory, at least, anyway. I don't think I ever have been stopped. But
you haven't. It's all...
I do like to try and follow the laws.
You're a good
honest
boy.
Anyway, Becky's coming up. She basically runs a paperwork company, which sorts out all your problems. Now, most of us have to deal with Spanish bureaucracy on an ad hoc basis, and it's horrible. There's little queues at the town hall and take a number, and you've always got the wrong bit of thing, or it's not stapled in the right way.
You have to go back three times for one thing.
Yep, she does it all day, every day, and she saved our bacon many occasions.
And she hasn't gone grey yet, either.
No, patience of a saint.
Anyway, coming up, here is me. Oh, I should tell you where we recorded it, actually, because it was flipping hot last week, but we were in her office, and... it's just got a really echoey office, so it wasn't that good in the noise and the sound in there. So we went into another office, but there was, again, it wasn't good enough. So we ended up going to sitting in her car with the air conditioning running.
I coat over your head.
Well, no, we're just in the car. It was a bit of sound, so I hope it's okay.
Sounds great.
Well, yeah.
Well, here's Becky.
And me.
And you.
What's your name? Where'd you come from?
Hi, I'm Becky from Mallorca Solutions, and I've lived here all my life, originally from the UK, from Birmingham.
Are you?
Yes. Yeah. Well, if my mum heard me say Birmingham, she's like, no, you're not, you're from West Midlands, born in Sutton Coalfield.
Was that posher?
Yes, yeah, the posh end. but she only had me in the UK deliberately so I could have a British passport.
She's not. She was a smart cookie, that Jackie.
Yeah.
Wasn't she?
So then, when I was 2 weeks old, she brought me back to Mallorca. My father was Spanish, and yeah, lived here ever since.
And what does Mallorca Solutions do? What's your business?
In a nutshell, really, we try to find solutions for everything here on Mallorca. But the main business is to do all types of administration, from registering people to live here, at immigration, get their NIEs residency, from bringing vehicles in to Mallorca and registering them here, any licenses, setting up businesses, anything that's official and legal paperwork, we do. We're also insurance brokers now. We work with 34 insurance companies. We're insurance agents for many years, and I decided to become a broker. So now we can offer more insurances as well.
Wow. And in state, and the estate agency as well.
And the estate agency started last year. Yep, we've got a second office for that. And my colleague, Stephanie Donfey, runs that side of the business. She's my partner in crime for the real estate.
A good team, I think.
Yeah, we are a good bunch.
All of the people that work for you are bilingual, at least bilingual, aren't they?
Yep, totally. Most of my team, a little bit just to mention their names. Fiona, she's bilingual, brought up in London, but had a Spanish mum. Stephanie, Estefania, she's half English, half Spanish, same as me. English mother, Spanish father. Tara, both English parents, but brought up here in Spain. And then we've got Kerry, that's Scottish, but brought up here in Spain as well. So everybody, yeah, on the property side, we've got Sophia, she used to work with us in the admin side. She's now moved over to the property side. She's from Madrid, mm-hmm. but speaks English with an Irish accent. Got an Irish fella. so she's always bought, you know. but she's lovely. And then there's John. He is from the UK. He actually didn't speak Spanish when he joined the team, but he's learnt Spanish to a conversational level, which I'm very proud of.
Well done. Knowing how hard it is to make the transition from speaking, because you're in an English-speaking environment a lot of the time working, yeah. to actually then also learn Spanish alongside of the pressures of work
yeah.
can be really difficult. So that's impressive.
Yeah, and I mean, and Stephanie Donfish has been here for years. Mm. Obviously, she's British, but yeah, she gets by with conversational Spanish. But on the admin side, we're all fluent and bilingual. Completely.
Well, I mean, Spain is famously red tape, a big fan of red tape.
Yep.
And there is a lot of paperwork that an English person moving to Mallorca or living in Mallorca probably isn't aware of the level of paperwork that you have to achieve.
They're not. When they come to see us initially, they're like, why do they make it so difficult? Why do they make it so difficult? Me, personally, having seen both systems, obviously I'm half British, and I've lived in the UK for a while, everything's very straightforward and very simple. Here in Spain, as you know, it's very complicated, a lot of red tape. But to tell you something, it's so easy to forge paperwork in the UK. I mean, you just send off your V5 logbook to the DVLA saying that you've purchased it, and they'll put it in your name.
Mm.
And they don't even verify the seller's signature or if that's true.
Oh.
You know, you can get a utility bill and then suddenly with that apply for a birth certificate of someone else's. I mean, we do a lot of paperwork for the UK, you know, legalising documents, etc. And when I realised, you know, with vehicle registrations, they just send it off, say, oh, yeah, it's not in my name, but I'll just post it. Literally, you post it, say it's in your name, and they'll put it in your name without verifying anything.
Wow.
We're here. Obviously, you've got to verify signatures. You need to show your ID. They'll see that the signature matches that ID. So in a way, I know sometimes they're a bit over the top and they're not, they don't facilitate the situation, do they? that's a very diplomatic word, really.
It would be great if there was a little bit more levity
yes,
in the process.
I totally agree with
but
that.
But I mean, I can imagine working in one of those offices can't be that much fun either.
No, not at all.
So at the moment, what kind of trends are you seeing? What kind of inquiries are you getting?
At the minute, there's a boom now with Brexit happening, especially for UK citizens. We did have until the end of the year where things were going to stay normal for residency. We have the green cards. Now we know, as we boast, you know, Brexit, we voted out of the EU. So they said, well, everything will remain the same until the end of the year. and then, you know, you'll be able to swap your cards. Well, about a month ago, we were at immigration and the machine wouldn't print the residency. And the actual policeman said to us there and then, we don't know if there's a problem with the machine or with the system. I mean, they hadn't even been notified that there's going to be changes. And they said...
It really was. Computer says no.
The computer says no. Yeah. And we don't know why. Come back in 10 days. Let me stamp your form and come back with a photo just in case they have actually started the new residency cards for non-EUs.
Already.
So we went back after 10 days. They still weren't very clear on everything, but they were clear on the fact that we now have to apply for the non-European cards. So basically all the appointments that we had and all the forms that we'd filled out, because we have hundreds of clients that are waiting for appointments to, you know, because of coronavirus, obviously everything came to a standstill. And then during lockdown, we were very busy because people were getting a head start to get paperwork ready. So we filled out all the forms, which was an EX18 form that we had to fill out. And now they said, no, you can't use those. You're going to have to do them all over again. Oh. And there's a new protocol now, so it's an EX24 for those who want to know. And we have to apply for first-time residencies. We have to apply in the immigration side of things for non-European citizens. And it can take anything between 3 to 6 months for the whole three stages of the card.
And what will that card give you the right to do? What's the point of the card?
So, I mean, at the minute, it's like any other non-European residency card. It's giving you the right to reside in Spain. You're able to work in Spain because at the minute that's one of the agreements as to, well, it's the agreement that they want to reach. We don't know if we are we going to be able to work in Spain. Will we have to apply for residency before we come out to Spain from the UK via the consulates, or will we be able to do it here? The way it stands at the minute is that we can apply from here, from Spain, and we are allowed to work here, unlike other non-EU citizens. For those of you, like, for example, you, Vicky, you've got your residency card already.
You did it for me.
I know.
Thank you so much.
So your permanent residency card will be a straight swap.
Phew.
And you'll get it'll be an ID card, similar to the ones that we had before.
I've lived here since 2004, and I didn't have... The old card, I've got a very old version of it. It has a photo on it, so we're going back to that.
Yep, but it won't be that card. It's now a red-greyish card for non-Europeans, and it will say that it's under Reign or Neither United Kingdom,
okay.
The agreement. And, you'll have a photo ID card, which will help.
Oh, it'd be great.
You don't have to carry passports around anymore.
I don't carry it around anyway, but I know people, Oliver does. Well, we all know he does because he lost it.
Yeah.
So that's the major inquiry at the moment, is people from the UK looking to move here or looking yes. to, or people who are already here looking to make official the residency.
Yeah. So we've got a lot of people. There's a boom now with residency applications for people that live here. And for people that already have a permanent residency card that want to swap it for this new non-EU card and the initial applications. But we have got a boom with people relocating.
Oh. And are these families or young people or people
who
have pensions?
Families, lots of families that are wanting to come and live out here. They've been wanting to do it for a while. Some would have waited a couple of years, but because of Brexit, they would rather come out, do it now, start everything, while they know it's easier in a way, because, you know, for non-Europeans, normally it's, you can't just come into Spain. You can come in as a tourist if that's the agreement that you're allowed your 90 days on entry with them stamping your passport. You don't need a visa, but then you've got to leave the country. And non-Europeans can't apply for their residency here in Spain. They have to do that via their Spanish consulate, unless if they're linked to an EU citizen or they have long-term residency in another EU country, or they've been here for 2 years illegally, they'll allow them to regulate the situation. So there's different ways, but normally you have to start by a Spanish consulate.
So Brexit's making people's minds up for them.
Yep.
I believe so, because we haven't, there's been a few that have left, but if we balance it out, we've got definitely more people coming
out. That's exciting. I'm happy to hear that, because you're making the right decision, in my opinion.
Yeah, totally.
So I wanted to ask, I mean, do you know how things like the reciprocal agreements with healthcare will be after Brexit? What's the situation there for people if they want to live here? Will they have to pay into social security here, or will there be ways, if you're a pensioner, for example, will you still be able to get healthcare here?
At the minute, that's one of the points that they said they wanted to keep, and they wanted to make sure that they got a deal with. It hasn't been finalised, as we all know, because we don't know the exact confirmation of what's going to be agreed with Brexit. But what we do know at the minute is that when our clients are applying for what's called an S1 form, that's S for sugar, number one form, to transfer their healthcare, whether you're a pensioner or because you're working in Spain but living living in Spain, they are saying that they're allowed to apply for these and that it's going to continue as normal. So hopefully they stick to that, and the healthcare will be, you know, pensioners don't have to worry that they will be covered because they're going to reach an agreement.
Mm.
Which agreement, we don't know yet, but that looks like it's going to stay in place.
And from I don't really remember back in the day when I moved here. I think the first thing that we did when we got here was get an NIE. Is that still what you'd have to do, the first thing?
At the minute, for British citizens, the first thing that you need to do is to get residency.
Oh, okay.
Okay. It is true that you can apply for an NIE number, but by applying for an NIE number, you need to prove why you need an NIE
now. You should explain what an NIE is, actually.
Yes, true. The NIE number is purely an identification number for expats that are wanting to live in Spain to do any type of transaction. Mm. So if you want to buy a house, a car, or even work in Spain, an NIE number used to be sufficient. If you weren't going to be living here, then yes, an NIE number to buy a car or a house would be sufficient. But if you're planning to be here more than 90 days or live here and be here long term, then you have to apply for a residency. And when you apply for residency, they will assign you with an NIE number.
Right.
And that NIE number will then allow you to set up at the Social Security office, which the Social Security office department is for health, work and pensions. Mm. So that way you will be able to obtain this second number that you need, which is the Social Security number, in order to work in Spain. A lot of people get them confused. So all I always say to all our clients is that the NIE number identifies you, and the Social Security number is for health, work and pensions. So both put together is the equivalent of our national insurance number in the UK.
Oh, it can sound very easy, but I know for a fact it's not actually that easy. And I think most people, especially people who can't speak any Spanish, would be approaching people like Miracle Solutions to do all of this stuff, mm-hmm. because it's much simpler, and you're not going to make a mistake, are you? Mm-hmm. Because I think it's a pretty long, lengthy process. There's a lot of hanging around waiting for your appointment.
True.
You told me that coronavirus has slowed everything down. I mean, like, what's the kind of waiting period at the moment you guys are experiencing, from asking for an appointment to getting an appointment?
It varies according to the type of, for example, department, or if we're talking about residencies, then we could get appointments, we could be, you know, months away, or we could actually have appointments from 1 week to another.
Mm.
But this is causing a problem, because people are saying, well, I'm not going to get, because to apply for residency, you either have to be working in Spain or have to have private medical insurance and funds in the bank, a minimum of around about 6,500 euros.
Okay, so you have to prove those things.
Yeah. So if you don't have your private medical insurance in place, then if we get an appointment from 1 week to another, sometimes if you don't have any pre-existing medical conditions, it's quite straightforward to issue you your private medical, and we can have it there and then ready for you to go to the appointment. But they also want proof of payment. And one thing is issuing the policy, but then payment has to go to your bank, and that could take up to 7 days. And then when it comes out of your bank, you need to get your bank manager to stamp that document to prove that the policy is being paid for,
right,
whether it's monthly or annually.
Mm.
But then you can't gather everything up from 1 week to another. So what we always say to our clients is, look, if you've
if you're sure that you want residency, you need to get the documents in place. And then once we have everything in place, we then, if we've got appointments from 1 week to another, we can slot you in. Others, we have to wait sometimes months. Things, for example, one thing that's very popular is the driving license exchange as well. UK driving license, that's also taking weeks, if not months. Mm. And the, you know, the thing with the system, the Spanish system with the appointment system, is that you'll go online, you have to put all the data in before you even get to the section to see if there's any availability. So you can't just, it'd be so much easier to go in, select your date, and then there's availability, yeah. And then you put all your information.
It'd be much less
and all your captures, you know, that you've got to, security checks and everything. But no, you've got to put it all, to be told, there's no appointments. And sometimes there's appointments, but there's literally four or five, and they go like gold.
I think you should do some consultancy for Spanish government websites.
I know.
Because I find it really hard to navigate them. That's why I look to you guys for all of that stuff.
Yeah. But I mean, like, for example, the tax office, we were saying, we were only speaking before, it's not operating 100%. They're trying to do a lot online to avoid people going to their offices, but then they are giving appointments. And you can get them from 1 week to another.
Yeah.
That's not so bad. But the ratios are much lower now in the offices. They've kind of halved it, and by appointment only. So you can't even turn up without an appointment.
I went to Hacienda a couple of weeks ago, and because there's a screen, you're both wearing masks. If you don't speak decent Spanish, you aren't going to understand a word saying.
It is a nightmare.
So, yeah.
I find it hard myself that they can't even hear you properly.
It's really difficult. Okay, so how do people contact you? I mean, like, you, obviously, you're full of knowledge and full of information, but the point we need to get across is that they need to contact you officially, don't they, in
yes.
order for you to be able to assist them?
Yes, of course. We've got two ways that they can contact us. Our main office landline is 971 13 16 44, and any email inquiries can be sent to admin@MallorcaSolutions.com, and that's Mallorca spelled the Spanish way with a double L.
With a yeah.
With a yeah.
Okay, thank you so much, Becky.
Okay, thank you very much, Becky.
And I'll be hiring you soon for the next, whatever bit of paper we need next.
Yay! I'll be there, ready and waiting, and so will my team.
You've always got my back.
Yeah, thank you, Becky.
So, is it all super clear now?
Well, the clearest thing out of that, really, is call Becky. I mean...
I know from...
Let me put it this way.
Okay.
I probably can... wire a toaster up or unplug the sink, but I'd rather get someone in who knows what they're doing. It's generally a good thing in life. You can do most of this yourself, particularly if you can speak good Spanish, but sometimes you have to value your time, you know. You think, okay, well, I've got half a day at least sitting in a government office with a number, hoping against hope that I've got the right bits of paper and the right photocopies and the right stamps on them. Actually, sometimes you haven't. You have to come back in the next day. So for me, even if I could do it myself, I usually think it's better to give it to them and get them to do it while I work and do the thing I do best.
I agree. And it's a pretty unique kind of job, isn't it? Because I don't think this is the equivalent of what she does in the UK.
Maybe there is for foreigners.
But do you remember, imagine, how many bits of paper do people have to get who are moving to the UK?
I don't know, actually, the truth, having only... That's only been a one-way trip.
I mean, we kind of took it for granted, didn't we? But you know, we have.
Don't forget.
I guess I've still got a national insurance number. I've definitely still got my passport.
But don't forget, you know, you got your birth certificate without trying because your mum and dad sorted that out, and you got your passport without trying, and then with all of that, you get your NIE number without, not your NIE, your national insurance number without trying. You sort of gradually acquire them, don't you?
Bit, yeah.
But literally arriving off a plane, as we did when. You know, 16 years ago when movement within the European Union was completely free, you didn't have to ask anyone. You just got off a plane and went, I'm here. What bits of paper do I need? And you start from zero. You know, on that day, the Spanish state has no idea who you are apart from your British passport. And you've just got to plug through it, actually.
I wonder how many people who are listening to this podcast are thinking about moving to Mallorca.
More and more, I think, actually. Or at least maybe Spain anyway, but it's... I think there's a lot of people, if we look at these various different Facebook sites with people looking for advice or help or answering questions, it seems to be a lot more saying, I'm moving to Mallorca next month. Mm. What's a good place to live? Or what should I pay in rent? Or which bits of paper do I need? And I think part of it is people you know, when the, well, I'm going to get this wrong, this is why I need Becky, but the transition period ends at the end of this year, which...
Yeah, it's the end of December.
Yeah, which is when your right to just walk off a plane and say, I'm here, ends. After that, you can, I guess, qualify via whatever residency rules or things actually come in place. Maybe there you need points or whatever. You know,
money. I think that's, you need money.
Yeah, but I mean, maybe, you know, in the way that Britain is adopting a points-based system, maybe Spain will do that too. So you've got basically until the end of the year to come here by right. And I think there's a lot of people doing that. And also, I think, actually, the virus, the lockdowns and all of that stuff is really changing in a permanent way, in a way that a lot of people look about where they live. You know, if you're... We mentioned it before in a podcast. If you have a job that you can do on the end of a phone or a Zoom meeting or on an email, which frankly is an awful lot of jobs these days, you don't need to be near your job very often. And I think people are starting to think, do I want to be crammed into central London or central Dusseldorf or, you know, central Manchester or wherever when actually I could do my job just as well from a flat in Santa Ponza or a house in Day or something like that, you know. I think there's a lot of that coming as well.
Do you have any regrets about moving to Mallorca?
I don't think so. I've also never allowed myself to think about it.
Mm.
My brain said on day one, this is a one-way move, right? You have to, I think, if you are moving, if you do move, you have to be your own biggest cheerleader. Because there will be moments where you go, what did I do?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, often financially, you know, you're moving. Yeah, maybe it's easier these days where you might be able to keep the job that you had in the UK. But we certainly didn't have that. So you arrive off a plane with, a couple hundred quid buffer money and you're to put down a deposit on a flat or something like that. And you just have to get on with it. And it's, so there were times, I think, when if I allowed myself to question it, I probably would have gone, did we do the right thing? But actually, it was just... It's the Wile E. Coyote thing, you know, when he runs off a cliff and he doesn't fall until he notices there's nothing underneath him. Keep running, I think.
It's true, isn't it?
Yeah,
keep running, keep pushing forwards. I mean, the thing is, though, as we think, a lot of people are moving to Spain. One certain person is certainly not going to be here for much
longer. Yeah, this is actual breaking news. What day is it today? Monday the something or other?
It's Monday the 3rd of August.
3rd of August. King Juan Carlos, the king's dad. The dog's having an asthma attack. We've tried to record this three times. We might just have to leave the dog in.
I think it's kind of adding to the atmosphere.
I think so, yeah. Just to let you know, it isn't one of us heavy breathing.
She's very hot.
She is very hot. Anyway, King Juan Carlos, the current King Felipe's dad, who abdicated a couple of years ago. Yeah. As we have to be really careful about how we say this. Storm clouds of bad stuff were kind of hovering a little close to Juan Carlos.
Storm clouds of bad stuff? What does that
storm
mean?
Storm clouds of bad stuff. Well, there was widely reported cases of extramarital affairs with the Danish princess.
I think that's been confirmed.
There was.
It's in her Wikipedia.
Okay. He shot an elephant in Botswana while being the regional head of the World Wildlife Fund, or whatever that's called these days, at a time when Spain was post-crisis. And I don't want to say this for sure, I think he might have done that with public money as well. And most recently, it turns out he was receiving some financial benefit from a deal with Saudi Arabia. Something like that. And he was receiving some sort of stipend, which he stopped receiving. So anyway, the breaking news as of today is, I'm just going to dig this out so I don't get this wrong. He said in a letter to his son, the current king, that he was going to be going into exile for the sake of Spain. Now he's...
what does that mean?
Well, I don't know.
For the sake of his skin?
Well, I don't know. It's being pitched. Sounds like a pitch of the letter. Is it some kind of, you know, noble thing? But actually, it sounds a little bit like evading justice. Apparently, there are people kind of gunning for him in a couple of countries. But anyway, he's going into exile. He hasn't said where he's going into exile or when he's going into exile. But it's a sad end. I mean, he's gone from... You know, he's gone from a real hero, you know, when Spain was transitioning from...
he was a hero.
From the dictatorship of Franco, you know, he was the thing that held the country together. And at that time, Spain was very proud of him. I wasn't here, but probably quite rightly, and particularly when there was an armed coup by Guardia Civil officers. You know, he was the one really holding the country together and at a time when it really needed it, and was really the steady hand on the transition to democracy. That is quite a long time ago now, and he's somewhat blotted his copybook, and the Spanish royal family, and particularly Juan Carlos, does not enjoy very much public support.
But, no. Well, I've got to say, I don't like him. I don't like his abuse of his status and his privilege.
No.
But, I mean, like, no. There's one thing to be a hero, and another thing to not care what's right and what's wrong.
Being a hero
once
doesn't give you carte blanche to
do not pass go
anyway,
situation.
So I guess this is tantamount to some sort of confession, isn't it? Really, it's I'm out of here. He's not staying and fighting. So we'll find out where he goes and when he goes. But that's the breaking news today on Monday.
What should we talk about next time? Well, I think there's quite a lot going on with the sort of situation with the quarantine. But as I said, at the moment, nothing's changed. But I think one of the things I'd like to talk about next is a more natural thing in Mallorca, which is Marco at the Palmer Aquarium. He's asked me if we'd like to go down there and have a chat about their rescue project that got going with Save the Med.
Okay.
And at the moment, in fact, at the weekend, they fished out of the sea two turtles, sea turtles, who were completely entangled in loads of fishing wire. Right. And I would like to know more about that, because one of the upsides of the lockdown for me and for lots of other people was seeing our natural environment have the chance to regenerate itself.
There was a turtle actually laying eggs on one of the beaches in Menorca, I think, wasn't it?
Fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, we've
so got... I would like to kind of follow that up and see what the situation is now.
We've got kind of a list that we drew up to for forthcoming episodes. And actually, the amount of times we've found people that we really want to talk to and want to interview about the natural side of Mallorca. And if you've never been to Mallorca...
Sorry, I have to do the dog again.
Or if you have been to Mallorca but haven't really made it past the beach and the bar at the top of the beach, you're really missing out on the treat. The place is an absolute natural Eden, I suppose, isn't it? We've got mountains and wetlands and marine nature reserves and migrating sperm whales that go up the Tramontana coast. And
amazing.
Turtles in the waters here. Even if you can imagine a place as busy as Mallorca in a normal year, all of these things kind of swim around you. At least we hope they do anyway.
Yeah.
But so we're talking to Marco at the aquarium next time, but it's going to be one of a great many interviews as we try and cover the various different aspects here of the natural world of Mallorca.
It's certainly, I guess it surprises a lot of people, but it's literally on our doorsteps.
It is. It's an amazing place.
So yeah, please get in touch with us if there's anything you want us to cover. It would be so cool to hear from you, and we'll do our best to cover the subject that you are interested in. As Ollie said, we've got lots of different topics to talk about, and we'll do them in the order that they present themselves to us.
Exactly, so, and we'll try and keep ahead of news as it breaks, I suppose, or the situation that changes, you know, things with the virus particularly. I know we didn't really want to talk about the virus, but it is going to rear its head. News is going to be good or bad, but it's going to be news either way, and we'll try and keep ahead of that. So in the meantime, I think we should pour ourselves another glass of I've already forgotten what it was.
Cayette, darling.
Cayette, a white wine made with red grapes. I'm sure somebody understands that more than I do. Anyway,
it's very nice.
It is nice.
Cheers.
It's wine and it's cold while we're hot. See you later.
Buenas noches. Dios. See you soon. Hasta pronto. Thanks for listening.
Salud. Mallorca.